You're listening to Eating for Eden, Episode 2. When it comes to doing something about climate change, your food choices matter. Thanks for tuning in to Eating for Eden, a podcast that takes a food-first approach to climate action. I'm your host, Jessica J. Schroeder, and I am passionate about food that tastes good and does good. I'll guide you with practical tips and help you thoroughly enjoy your food along the way. For many of us, when we get excited about something, we want to go all in. It's understandable. Yesterday, you saw the world one way. Today, you see it differently. You don't want to live like you did yesterday. Things need to change. So you set out to make change, starting with your own life and habits. However, far too often we get burned out or overwhelmed by attempting to implement and sustain too much change at once. While it may be possible for a select few to make a 180-degree flip overnight, for most of us, that's not realistic. Not only is it nearly impossible to achieve such a quick shift, it's not sustainable. If you're listening to this podcast, I imagine you're at least curious about plant-based eating. You may already be a flexitarian, pescatarian, or vegetarian. And perhaps your goal is to be 100% vegan. If that's your genuine, heartfelt goal, go for it. You have my support. However, if you want to make an impact but you're unsure of how much change you can handle right now, don't sweat it. Start where you are and do what you can. Doing something is better than doing nothing. You don't even have to have a particular goal. Just choose a place to start making little changes. Your goal may find you over time, but maybe not. There is no perfect to shoot for. So let go of that myth. There are people out there claiming that anyone who isn't 100% vegan is part of the problem, but I think that is unfair. I think it's worth celebrating anyone who is contributing to the solution. One of the world's top medical journals, The Lancet, formed a commission to develop dietary recommendations focused on both human health and planetary health. In their own words, the Eat Lancet Commission addresses the need to feed a growing population a healthy diet while also defining sustainable food systems that will minimize damage to our planet. The guidelines produced by the Eat Lancet Commission are a great standard by which to estimate the relative sustainability of a given dietary pattern. According to Our World in Data, in 2017, in the United States, the average daily per capita supply of red meat was 185 grams, of chicken, it was 153 grams, and of dairy, 698 grams. While this doesn't reflect actual consumption because it doesn't account for food waste, the stats are still incredibly relevant. What we produce is based on market demand, and what we produce affects the climate, whether it gets consumed or not. Comparing this data with the Eat Lancet recommendations, the average supply per capita for the United States was over 1,300%. That's 13 times more red meat, over 5 times more chicken, and almost 3 times more dairy than recommended. In short, you don't have to be 100% vegan to do better than that. At bare minimum, purchasing and consuming less than these average amounts is still one small step in the right direction. Going one better, if you avoid red meat entirely, you've omitted the top greenhouse gas emitters from your diet. Yet another step further, if you decide that you're still going to consume some amount of animal products but lower your intake to the modest levels set by the Eat Lancet Commission, which bases its recommendations on what is sustainable for our planet, that's even better. None of the suggestions I just gave achieve, quote, perfection, but they each make a positive impact. Each is worth committing to. Of course, if everyone went vegan, we'd be able to make a massive dent in global greenhouse gas emissions. That would be amazing. But we have to recognize that not many people are willing to take that leap. And even those who are willing need time to develop new habits and work their way there. We also have to recognize that it will take the economy time to change. It's actually a good thing that it takes time for humans to make sustainable changes to our dietary patterns, because if this is going to be sustainable for everyone involved, infrastructure, think jobs, supply chains, etc., infrastructure is going to have to change too. To be abundantly clear, that's what we want and need. Without such infrastructure changes, we won't make the dent in climate change we're hoping to make. So, these things go hand in hand. In cases like this, perfection often becomes the enemy of the good. So let's get started. Regardless of the end goal, many people may be willing to swap out, say, plant-based meat alternatives a few times a week and lessen their overall meat, egg, and dairy intakes. Some people are happy to give up meat entirely, but still want to consume dairy on occasion. That's totally fine. Let it be a special treat that you indulge in here and there, and enjoy it thoroughly if and when you do. Again, the goal here is not perfection. It's all about joining in, doing what we can with where we are and what we have to make a difference. If you have a particular goal in mind, I encourage you to make your way there over time. That may take you a month. It could take you a year. Your current eating pattern and your own unique body and personality will determine how easy or difficult these changes will be for you. Set yourself up for success by changing things gradually. Once you see how things are going, you can adjust the rate at which you make additional changes. The point for everyone listening is to make changes that are truly sustainable for you. Changes that you can keep and that you can truly own as new habits, not just a fleeting fancy or a fad. Sound good? All right, now let's get practical. Regardless of your end goal, if you're curious about where to start, consider these four tips for making sustainable plant-based swaps and moving toward a smaller food footprint. Tip number one, lessen the amount of meat you eat per week. If you currently eat meat every day, start by doing a meatless Monday. If you feel comfortable adopting more days of the week as meatless, consider doing weekday veg or weekday vegan, reserving your consumption of meat and or other animal products for the weekend. If that feels like too much, try eating vegetarian or vegan before dinner. Remember, any progress is good and worth celebrating. Don't let perfection be the enemy of the good. Tip number two, swap out dairy milk for plant-based alternatives. Whether this is at home or out at your favorite coffee shop, opt for options like oat or soy. All plant-based milks have an overall lower carbon footprint than dairy, but oat and soy have the lowest. What's more, soy milk has the same amount of protein as dairy milk and is rich in beneficial soy isoflavones. Check out the show notes for a link to an episode of The Proof podcast where you can learn more about soy's health benefits and bust some of the myths that you might be hanging on to. Tip number three, use egg alternatives in baking. While some food items, like a classic souffle, are what they are uniquely because of the eggs, there are tons of foods, baked items and otherwise, that can easily be made without eggs. If you like to bake, start getting used to making your favorite items with egg substitutes. And I don't necessarily mean those high-cost, ultra-processed concoctions on the grocery store shelves. There are plenty of swaps you can make with whole and minimally processed ingredients that you might already have at home. One thing to note about egg substitutes is that what you choose to use will depend on the role the egg is playing in the finished product. For instance, does the egg serve as a binder? If so, you'll want to opt for something like chia seeds or flax meal or psyllium husk. Does the egg add richness to the recipe? If so, adding fat or flavor will serve as a better substitution route, so maybe switching out for a bit of olive oil or nut butter, or an extract like vanilla or almond. Even something like espresso powder or molasses could be good options depending on what you're making. Does the egg provide lightness or airiness? In that case, experiment with leaveners like baking powder or a combination of lemon juice or apple cider vinegar and baking soda. I'll put a link in the show notes to a blog post I have found particularly helpful when figuring out what to substitute in various bakes. Finally, and perhaps the most important, is tip number 4. Focus more on eating a diversity of whole plants. This tip is all about mindset. Rather than thinking so much about what you can't or shouldn't eat, focus on seeking to eat a diversity of whole plants. This fosters an abundance mindset instead of one of scarcity. It's a powerful thing. The beauty of focusing on filling your plate with fruits, veg, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds is that you'll naturally crowd out the animal products. Delight in abundance. Get excited about embracing the wide variety of delicious plants. This mindset will take you far. It's time to get started, but leave behind any shame-inducing messages based on the goal of perfection. These are not serving anyone. Instead of seeking perfection, start where you are, do what you can, and build from there. Thanks for listening to Eating for Eden. If you found this episode informative or inspiring, please consider sharing it with a friend. Climate change is an issue we all need to tackle together, so let's invite others to journey along with us as we continue the conversation and start taking action. Until next week, friends, take care.